Hey everybody, this is Andrew from The Family Gamers on the show floor at PAX East 2017, and I am here in the GameRight booth with Nora. GameRight is a huge friend of the show. We love you guys. We've been hanging out with you guys and playing your games for years, and finally we actually get the chance to get together and talk on the show.
Hey, how you doing? I'm really excited to be able to talk with you about GameRight.
So, there's a ton of activity going on here. I see, five tables, almost six tables, and then there's a bunch of demo tables all over the place. What kind of stuff are you guys showing at PAX East this year?
Okay, so for PAX 2017, the new release that has been the hit release is Sushi Go Party. So we're really excited because we released it at Gen Con, but this is most of the time we only attend PAX East, so this is the show we often think about releases for. So this is the first time that PAX East attendees have gotten to play it on the floor, and they're having a great time. We had a show special for it on Friday, so I'm really thrilled with the response. People are enjoying it a lot.
So, interesting thing about Sushi Go Party, so I mentioned to a few of my friends that we had just picked up a copy of it, and they're like, oh, is it just like Sushi Go for more people? And it's kind of not. There's a lot more going on. So, tell me about some of the differences in the game.
Sure. I mean, it is exactly the same gameplay as Sushi Go, but you are building your deck beforehand, and you have multiples of roles that you can interchange. So instead of playing with Maki, you might play with Tamaki this time. Instead of playing with an appetizer like sashimi, you might switch it out for a totally different appetizer like, oh gosh, many of the different wonderful sushi appetizers that are choices in the card. So you switch out the decks and you build your own deck. There's new specials like spoon instead of chopsticks, and then there's always the old favorites too. So you're interchanging. The big difference too is the desserts are really different. So if you ever had a strong pudding game when you played Sushi Go, you've got a lot of different desserts to choose from. If you like that end game strategy for Sushi Go, you're really going to love Sushi Go Party.
So that's cool. So when you talk about the swapping things out for the deck, that's really to add variety because everybody has a shared deck, right?
Oh, yes. You are building one deck that you're going to use to play the game. So ultimately, just for folks at home who have not seen the game, there are differences in the way it looks. It comes with a board that you also have a score tracker around. And the board, you lay the menu out. There's eight spots on it. Nigiri is in every single game. So you're going to have a corresponding deck of Nigiri, and that gets put down, and then you're building your deck from there, and you put the other seven corresponding choices into that deck, shuffle it all, and then you play it just like you play Sushi Go.
Cool. All right. So I have not had a chance to get my copy out of the box yet. I am looking forward to playing it, and especially it's one of those things where when you watch people play a game, it gets you more excited to play that game. So I might have to go home and pull out Sushi Go and Sushi Go Party and get started playing that right away.
That sounds like a good plan to me.
So what else do you guys have on the show floor today?
So another game that's been a huge hit that was actually released at PAX, 2006, PAX East 2016 is Dragonwood, and it was really, really new then, and it's a different game for us. It's not cooperative, but it's still got like a really nice, maybe in between a couple heavy games. It works with, you're collecting victory points. It's a dragon theme. You're trying to gain the most amount of victory points, and what you're doing is rolling die to collect creatures off a forest landscape. There's two dragons that come out. Once they come out and they're collected, the game is over. But what I really love about it is you can learn it relatively quick, but replayability and as far as the strategy, you can come into the game from a lot of different angles, and there's these really cool enhancements in your hand that help you win the game in the end that are difficult to collect. So there's the challenge level stays high even as you play it over and over again, and that has been a huge hit. I think in part because it's a $15 game, so it's so fun to play, and the dragon theme is awesome. It looks great. So even though it's in its second year here, we're finding there's a lot of motivation and interest in that game.
Yeah, we actually did a review of Dragonwood on our website. So if you're listening to this, you should go to thefamilygamers.com and do a search for Dragonwood and check it out. We love Dragonwood too. I think one of the things about it that's so interesting is there's something about the art that makes it look like it should be more expensive than it is. And then when you're like, oh, it's only $15. Oh, I got to get this game like right now, right? It almost becomes an impulse buy. And it translates really well to playing with kids.
It does. So I think it really meets that family game wheelhouse. As far as an adult, look is drawn to the game. You see, the inventor's motivation was, he's a huge D&D guy, and he can't play it with his young kids yet.
Right.
So he wanted something with that awesome theme, but then was accessible to, like, his family, who was much younger. And eventually, they'll probably play D&D, but right now, this is where they're at. They're at Dragonwood. And I actually have an 8-year-old son, and we've been playing it like crazy. It's his favorite. So it's, like, it's just a really great game for families to come together and all enjoy it.
Yeah, we love that. We cannot speak more highly of that game, especially in that family gaming context. We love it.
Sure.
So what else you got?
Oh, Imagine. Imagine's really fun. Imagine is an animated charades game. So it is. It has 61 transparent cards that come in it. The transparent cards can be layered on each other, and then it plays like charades. You play in a group, and you pick up a prompt card, and it will have a list of different things like objects or nature and science or a saying. And you read the category out to the group, and then you try to illustrate the prompt, just like charades. But the real clincher to the game is these beautiful transparent cards that you can layer on top of each other and kind of move to create the image you're trying. So you're basically making a little cartoon. It's great.
Yeah, I actually played a little bit of Imagine yesterday, and one of the things that was funny about it is I would read off something that I needed to get the other person to guess, and I would think it would be easy. But the thing is, I'm not drawing, so I have to work with the pre-made shapes, and as soon as I got started, I realized this is going to be a lot more difficult than I thought it was going to be.
And I have the opposite thing. I am not much of a drawer. So the fact that there are these pre-made shapes puts ideas in my head a lot quicker than when I played games where you had to draw out the thing. And also, I like that it's not charades where you have to stand up in front of folks. I'm really drawn to the transparent cards as a way to feel more comfortable to play that style of game and enjoy it. So
yeah, I think we first saw Imagine at Boston Fig last year. I'm not sure when it officially came out, but that was the first time we saw it, and it's been in the back of our mind ever since, I think.
So the release was at Gen Con this year as well. So yes, Boston Fig was literally, I think, 3 weeks later. So it would be the first time people were getting a glimpse of it. It is a game we licensed from a French company called Cocktail Game. So it's been in existence in Europe for a little while. So it has some following. And then we just brought it over to the States because we knew it was such a high quality game. Just really beautiful, really fun to play, great party game. And also, for Game Right, it's always a priority to have really, really accessible family games. And this just met it perfectly. However, I would absolutely bring it to a dinner party with no kids and fully believe that everyone's going to have a blast with it.
So. Yeah, I mean, I this is actually the second group of people that have gone to the Imagine table to try out the game since we started talking. So definitely it's getting a lot of traffic, I think, at the show.
Yeah, Imagine's been a hit for sure.
So what else is on the tables today?
So we always bring out Forbidden Desert and Forbidden Island. They're perennial favorites. And honestly, if you don't have it in your game collection, I understand. But if you're looking for a great co-op game with a good price point that everyone who sits down and plays loves the first time, both of the Forbidden games are, I mean, I work for the company, so it's hard for me not to just have that sound like a pitch,
right?
But the reality is they are that good. They're like the co-op game that's really nice to have and have everyone sit down to. And what happens at all of these shows is inevitably somebody loves Forbidden Island and one of their friends has never played it. So they come over to our booth and they give it a shot. And by that time, everyone who sat down at the table goes and buys a copy. It's just a really good game to have in your collection.
Right. We love both of them. We have owned both of them in the past. I ended up giving my copy of Forbidden Island to my sister, but we still have Desert, so we're okay. And if you've played Pandemic, it's the same designer, right? Matt Leacock did the design of those. So if you've played Pandemic, you should definitely check out these games because there's a lot of that same kind of cooperative, if you go here, I'll go here, maybe we can help each other out kind of thing. I love those games. And I'm always, you know, we mentioned it before with Dragonwood, I'm always impressed with the ability of Game Right to get the prices at the point where they're really, really accessible. They're not like these beautiful games, but they cost $60. It's not that issue. Everything is really priced competitively, and I kind of love that about Game Right games.
I mean, I think we legitimately, when we say we are a family game company that also talks about the accessibility of games, to families on a budget, you know? So I think that it is definitely an active aspiration of us to offer games that are affordable but also a good value, because we know it's expensive. We know, like, our hobbies are expensive, entertainment's expensive, but we know the value of a good game, and we want you to be able to have some choices in your collection. So I think when we say we're a family game company, we also mean we're a family game company that realizes that it can be expensive to have kids and to entertain them.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to take too much more of your time, but there's a game that we have talked about many, many times on our show, and it is right in front of me. And we bought our copy of PAX East 2016, and I want to hear from you what the reaction to Bring Your Own Book has been, because we love it.
So interestingly, I think Bring Your Own Book, as long as people pick it up and play it, they have a blast. I think sometimes people look at the book theme and think, well, I'm not into books, so I'm not going to be into this game. That is not true. It is a really fun prompt game where you can have some incredibly silly, sometimes sarcastic responses to really good ideas. And basically what it is you open up a book and you have to pull a line out as a response to a prompt. And you go around in a circle, and the person with the best, like, snappy sort of comeback idea is the winner. And the real thing that you're doing is you're using the book in your bookshelf as a component. So it changes every time. The replayability is huge because there's so many different books in people's different homes. So people are liking it a lot. I will say that sometimes people don't get as easily drawn to it because they aren't necessarily book lovers. And what I would say to that is, if you're a game lover, you will like this theme of books.
Right. I completely agree with that. You know, we've deliberately made it an amusing experience by bringing kind of ridiculous books to the table when we play this. I brought Arnold Schwarzenegger's Modern Guide to Bodybuilding to the table once, which was pretty amusing. We've had programming textbooks. We've had somebody brought a dictionary once. And I love that if you open the front cover of the game, you can record every book that has been brought to the game inside the box. Well, it's just really clever.
I'll give you a pro tip straight from the publisher. Find books by comedians, and always use a book by a comedian, because, man, you can find some great lines in a comedian's memoir. I am a fan of the Bossy Pants book by Tina Fey, but you pick your own favorite, and that would be what I would bring if I was playing that game with a group of people.
Right, I would say that Douglas Adams and Terry Pratchett are two pretty popular ones for us. They're both, I mean, they're novelists, but they're comedic novelists, so definitely agree with you on that one. Well, like I said, I don't want to take too much of your time. I think the show floor is getting ready to wrap up, so thank you very much for spending some time with us, Nora.
Terrific, thank you for having me. I've been thrilled. I've been meaning to be on this podcast, so I'm so glad that we just did it right here on the floor of PAX East 2017.
All right, well, thanks again, and I hope you continue to have a great show.
Thank you.